Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 71. I believe that's page 503 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 71. Lord, I seek refuge in you. Never let me be disgraced. In your justice, rescue and deliver me. Listen closely to me and save me. Be a rock of refuge for me, where I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and oppressive. For you are my hope, Lord God, my confidence from my youth. I have leaned on you from birth. You took me from my mother's womb. My praise is always about you. I have become an ominous sign to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is full of praise and honor to you all day long. Don't discard me in my old age. As my strength fails, do not abandon me. For my enemies talk about me, and those who spy on me plot together, saying, God has abandoned him. Chase him and catch him, for there is no one to rescue him. God, do not be far from me, my God. Hurry to help me. May my adversaries be disgraced and confounded. May those who seek my harm be covered with disgrace and humiliation. But I will hope continually and will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell about your righteousness and your salvation all day long, though I cannot sum them up. I come because of the mighty acts of the Lord God. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still proclaim your wonderful works. Even when I'm old and gray, God, do not abandon me. Then I will proclaim your power to another generation, your strength to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches heaven, God, you who have done great things. God, who is like you? You caused me to experience many troubles and misfortunes, but you will revive me again. You will bring me up again, even from the depths of the earth. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. Therefore, with a lute, I will praise you for your faithfulness, my God. I will sing to you with a harp, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, because you have redeemed me. Therefore, my tongue will proclaim your righteousness all day long, for those who seek my harm will be disgraced and confounded. May God bless the reading and receiving of this word.
I almost spelled this today, the age of G-R-A-Y-C-E, but then somebody would probably complain about my spelling and say, I thought he said he knew how to spell. But I do want to talk today and reflect a little bit with you about those of us who are adding a little bit of gray, even under that other color that some put on. As we approach the whole idea of age, and what is the age of grace that we find? I still remember the comment very, very clearly. The man was hunched over and walked as if the next step would be his last. The look on his face was one of defeat, and the lines around his eyes and his mouth were deep. When he spoke, it seemed like there was nothing left in him, and one wondered just how much longer he would be around. He had seen many, many tragedies in his life, some brought on by himself. As he walked by, one of the people around me said, that's really a tragedy. He had so much potential, but he sure got old before his time. By the way, he was in his late 40s. Perhaps you know someone like him. Someone who seems to have gotten old before their time. Someone who has let life and things that happen in life batter them and keep them down. Or maybe you know someone who is older but seems much younger than their years. The psalm under consideration today, Psalm 71, is one that I think speaks for we who are in our particular society and culture today. Because if you look at it, even the commercials for some of these assisted livings or seniors' places now seem to push younger and younger, and how you can come here and you might be 94 years old, but you're going to act like you're 23 again. And then on the other hand, our society does tend oftentimes not to respect or honor the aged. The number of folks who are put in homes and other facilities and then never visited by family has increased. And so the psalm under consideration today is both a lament about age and some of the things that oftentimes happen to us as we age, perhaps some of which we have experienced personally. But it's also a statement of hope. It contains a statement of hope and commitment as we do add a few more gray hairs, or for some it turns loose. This particular psalm is from an older man. An older man who has been assaulted by enemies, who has been assaulted by tragedy in life, and who sometimes feels overwhelmed by all the things that are going on around him and within his own circle. He has faced many crucial experiences during his lifetime, experiencing sickness, trials, varied attacks by others, and not just physical, very likely verbal attacks, emotional attacks as well, and other problems which accompany living in a fallen world. Yet in his old age, and throughout all of these various situations that he has faced, we find that even though he does, and the Psalms often run the gamut of human emotion, he does ask God to kind of bring some trouble to his enemies, human nature. But even though all of these things have happened to him, they have not dried up the springs of his hope. Verses 14 through 16. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all day long, though their number is past my knowledge. I will come praising the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will praise your righteousness, yours alone. That hope which has sprung up in him continues to carry him throughout the difficult days of getting older. Nor have they weakened his religious spirit. Once again, verse 5 of Psalm 71. For you, O Lord, are my hope. Notice he doesn't say, were my hope or will be my hope. He says, you are my hope. My trust, O Lord, from my youth. And in verses 20 and 21, you have made me see many troubles and calamities, will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. That hope which began in his youth, that relationship which began when he was much, much younger, continues to sustain him even in these times. And though he will issue laments in this particular psalm. He will also take inventory of the long life. Yes, the difficulties, but even more so, the goodness, the deliverances, and the ongoing presence of God, which fills his heart with praise. Even when others, even his own enemies, are sure that they will have the last laugh. They're sure they'll have the last laugh. It is said in here. My enemies are saying these things. He turns to God, the one who has never failed to be his deliverer, and who still instills life and praise within him, but also life and praise from him, which is very important. Regardless of our age, whether we're young or as we grow older, we need to remember that God who continues to instill life within us also deserves praise from within us. Perhaps even more so as we do get a few more of those gray hairs, as we do get older, even though we won't make it to Methuselah's age. I've mentioned this before, and kind of as an aside, a couple of years ago I read a report that says if medicine continues to advance at the current rate that the average high school and college students can expect an average life expectancy of 125 to 130 years old. And as I've said before, that means you can't. That might be good news. You know, you live longer, but the bad news is you won't be able to retire until you're 110. But as this text opens, the psalmist calls out to God with a recognition that though he is advanced in years, he's gotten older, God is his refuge and continues to be his refuge. He finds hope and strength not only in the thought, but in the reality that God is his refuge. It's more than just a nice thought that brings him comfort. But as he reflects upon his life, it has become a reality. And he recognizes what has truly happened to him. He finds hope and strength because he's afraid. He does have fear. He's afraid that he has gotten to the age where perhaps he can't protect himself. And he relies once again on what God has done and what God will do. The Lord is the one who can not only save him but preserve his dignity. And is that not really some of what we worry about as we age? Is the preservation of human dignity? A dignity that God gives from beginning. But that we sometimes, no, not sometimes, very often we take for granted. Edwin Petit reminds us that, quote, it is, generally speaking, in our elders that the sense of honor is even as strong as the will to live. End of quote. The psalmist, in his sense of loneliness and isolation here, seeks companionship with God because others mock him and take advantage of him. But in seeking that companionship with God, he is reminded that God has never left him. God has always been his refuge. God has always been his fortress. That place that when others and when life assails him, there is still some protection. But pay attention to the fact that while he does speak of the past, how God has been a refuge, he doesn't dwell on the past. He doesn't dwell on the past and he doesn't wish to return to it. Now, I know that most everyone in here at some point in time has thought about and even mentioned the good old days. Right? Although sometimes when we get to thinking about them and reminiscing with friends, we might be reminded of things that weren't so good in those old days. There are some folks that say, oh, we need to return. I've heard folks over the the last couple of decades sometimes say, oh, we need to return and be just like it was in the early church. Well, they didn't have nearly as much as we do. And they actually gave and gave and gave of themselves, oftentimes more than people do today, except when there are disasters such as Sandy. I heard someone one time say, oh, we need to go back to the Old Testament and put all the Old Testament laws in place. Well, some of those might work, but in the covenant codes given in the book of Exodus, he who curses father or mother shall be put to death. He who strikes father or mother shall be put to death. Not so sure I want those going on. So he doesn't wish for the past to come back. Rather, he accepts his old age with a thankful spirit because God is a righteous deliverer, a rock of refuge, a strong fortress who has commanded his life. He goes further in his appeal to God based on his experience. God has been and still is his hope and his trust since his days of his youth. In fact, Stuart McCullough writes that in verse 6, the psalmist, quote, may be recalling that at the beginning of his life, he was indebted to some special act of providence from God, end of quote. The wonders of God's help. From the time of his birth, through his youth, and up until the present moment are a never-ending theme for him of hope and praise. That doesn't mean everything has been wine and roses in his life. The reference in verses 7 and following about being a portent, that is, a terrible example, or a warning of God's vengeance, shows that he has had his share of life's difficulties, and some have mocked him, have tisked him. That's TSK. A lot of folks don't use that anymore. But they've just kind of shaken their heads and gone, and had even said that God had abandoned him and what was happening to him was God's doing because of his disfavor. And yet, he balances this with a reflective statement. Older folks do tend to be a little bit more reflective. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Have you ever known someone who is older, who it might seem had nothing left for which to live, who had experienced tragedy, sadness, loneliness, and yet they would speak of God's presence and God's goodness at the drop of a hat? This is the type of understanding and commitment which the psalmist knows from experience. As he grows older, he has also come to find and to cultivate an enthusiasm for life. An enthusiasm for life. This 40-year-old or 40-something that was older than his years had forgotten how to cultivate an enthusiasm for life. An enthusiasm for life with God and with others around. Even throughout the difficulties which have assailed him, physical, spiritual, and emotional difficulties, he continues to display an underlying positive attitude. I still remember when my father had colon cancer and eventually beat the colon cancer, though lung cancer later got him. He continued to keep a positive attitude, and his doctor at one point, Dr. Choksi, said that he honestly would not have given my father a year when they first discovered the colon cancer in 1989. And when he was released in 1995 as completely clean of colon cancer, he said, I would not have given him a year, but his positive attitude did so much to help. so I said, yeah, Dr. Choksi, it did. How many times do we get older than our years because we have a negative attitude? How many times do you see someone who is older but seems younger and more vivacious because of their positive attitude? Life still hits them. And sometimes hits them hard. But they continue to get up through that positive attitude and relationship with God. The following was shared with me many years ago. And unfortunately, I have often forgotten it. The author is unknown, but could be someone like the psalmist. And I quote, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home." The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string that we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. End of quote. I do not know the author. I wish I could claim to have written it. But I didn't. And yet it is a reminder. A reminder of the importance of attitude. Attitude with God and attitude with others, even when life around us sometimes seems to want to destroy us. Our psalmist continues to state his conviction that God is near. "Be not far," he says. "Make haste, even in the inescapable things of old age." As he has grown older, his attitude, his faith in his God has not lessened. It was and is the reason for his bold affirmation as an old man, "I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. I will praise your righteousness, yours alone." Our psalmist is giving voice to his confidence that God is the deliverer, come what may. And yes, I did think about singing a chorus from the line in that psalm, but I decided not to. Come what may. He remembers and claims for himself and for all of we who would learn these lessons as we age, that faith perspective, God will go with us to the end. Seems to me somebody said that in the New Testament. As Jesus reiterated when he commissioned his disciples, and not just the 12, and not just the 120 plus who were gathered on the mountain that day, but all who would become his disciples, from Irene Loftus at almost 103 to Claire Higginbotham in high school, and all points in between, all of we who would become his disciples. And he said, "Lo," that means behold, that means remember, "I am with you always, even until the end of the age." The psalmist reminds and challenges each of us to remember to grow, not retreat, not to turn around and take a step back. We're to move forward. we're to grow and cultivate a confident hope in God and an everlasting life within God's presence. Poteet states, and I quote, "It takes experience and reflection to establish religion in mature patterns that can survive the inabilities of youth or the shocks of adversity." Many of Western man have been driven from their spiritual home and are wretched with fear and faithlessness. Exile and return were no strangers to the psalmist's experience. Shock and insecurity were so real as to call for drastic measures of revival. Yet Psalm 71 is no mere prayer of an old man for deliverance. It is a testament of an old man's faith. End of quote. Our world is aging. Our country is aging. Our church is aging. Our families are aging. But that should not lead us to despair or to fear. Rather, we can cultivate and then share a faith which holds fast to God as our rock of refuge, a God who can increase our honor regardless of any age, and who can make us productive in His kingdom, even in our own world. But only if we will it. Only if we decide to live in such a fashion. So, the question for me is, as I age, do I despair? Well, sometimes I get down. But do I despair? Or do I share praise and wisdom for God's faithfulness and for God's rescuing of my soul and the souls of others around? The age of grace, when we are at an age of gray. May we pray. Heavenly Father, help us, regardless of our age, whether we are young or whether we are a little bit older. Help us, like the psalmist, not to turn away from the things that we have experienced in life, but to allow those to remind us and to spur us on to hope and faithfulness and commitment to You, with You, and with others. So that as we age, Your grace will become even more evident for us and through us to a world so in need of something positive and good. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision, our closing hymn, is 342, Rock of Ages. Sometimes we do need to hide ourselves within God to recover. But then we share that good news with others of God's grace. Our altar is open for any decision that you might make. Number 342, Rock of Ages.